All right. We're going to go on to case number 5. 08-1033, the United States of America versus Vincent Horner. And it's Mr. Mullins. Good morning, Mr. Mullins.
Good morning. Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Brian Mullins, and I represent Vincent Horner on this appeal from his sentence in the district court. We raise two issues for appeal. We believe this court should remand for resentencing in light of Kimbrough because the district court did not consider whether to vary from the guideline sentencing range given the disparity between crack and powder cocaine punishments. And the government, I believe, concedes that the case should be remanded on that basis. We also argue that this court should categorically or should find that the Wisconsin crime of criminal trespass to a dwelling is categorically not a crime of violence for purposes of the career offender provision of the sentencing guidelines. And I think whatever gray area might have existed before has been clarified this week by this court in two cases, or at least as it relates to the crime of violence issue, I think it has been clarified by this court in Templeton. And Templeton was interpreting Begay, the Supreme Court decision that came out in April. And Begay stands for the proposition that for a crime to be a crime of violence under the career offender provision, that is not one of the that does not have an element of physical force against the person of another, or is not one of the enumerated offenses, so that it otherwise involves conduct that presents a serious potential risk of physical injury to another. For it to fall under that provision, it must be similar in degree and in kind to one of the enumerated offenses of burglary, arson, extortion, or involving use of a weapon. And we believe...
Does a non-consensual entry into a person's home create a potentially incendiary situation in the first instance, which, of course, is then escalated when the intruder puts a person in fear of bodily harm or disrupts or disturbs the peace and sanctity of the home, such as, there's a serious risk of physical harm.
And that is the first test that a crime must meet, the degree of harm. And we argued that the degree of harm is not similar. We don't believe it's necessary for this court to make a determination on that basis because I think it's clear that the kind of harm that is caused by criminal trespass to a dwelling is not similar to burglary, arson, extortion, or using a weapon. And I think that's been clarified by the court in Templeton. Because
you have a very interesting example here in your brief that you use. On page 12, you say, a person who walks uninvited into his neighbor's house and berates the neighbor for neglecting his yard work is guilty of criminal trespass to a dwelling because his abusive language is considered by Wisconsin law to be a breach of the peace. But that person did not pose a serious potential risk of physical injury by his actions. Well, I wonder about that.
And we're not pressing the degree of risk. We're not
into
really pressing
the Mullins household and starts berating you. That it seems to me that has the potential to be a serious problem, especially knowing Mr. Mullins as I do from the public defender's office in Milwaukee.
Well, we're not pressing the degree of risk aspect of the analysis. I think it's the kind of risk, and I think in that case, the person going in and guilty of, or just a generic person guilty of criminal trespass to a dwelling, because of the elements of the offense, does not necessarily intend, it is not engaging in purposefully aggressive or violent behavior, and that's because of the way that Wisconsin has defined the crime. It is defined as intentionally entering the dwelling of another without consent. That's the intent element, entering the dwelling of another without consent. And if that entry of the dwelling happens to cause or provoke a breach of the peace, the person is guilty. So it's a strict liability offense in that respect, and I think that's what makes it similar to drunk driving.
I wondered if you had any case support for your position that even non-threatening profane language, you know, can constitute a breach of...
I don't have a case. We have the jury instructions from the state of Wisconsin that I presume are given in any trial for criminal trespass to a dwelling, so that I presume is the state of the law in Wisconsin. And what Templeton, though, clarifies is that what makes burglary a crime of violence is not entering the dwelling, but the intent to commit a felony once a person enters the dwelling. And that's what is lacking in criminal trespass to a dwelling, because it does not have that intent to commit a felony aspect or intent to engage in violence aspect. It just, if the action has the effect of causing a breach of the peace, then the person is guilty. So I think that's what distinguishes criminal trespass to a dwelling from burglary, and that's the crucial linchpin. And I believe that the fact that Wisconsin has made the crime a misdemeanor shows that the state was not intending to cover necessarily violent conduct, but was intending to cover what it considered relatively minor conduct. We also believe that this court, the government suggests that if the court that the court might remand the case for the district court to determine whether it's a crime of violence in light of Begay. But we believe that given that this court is reviewing the issue de novo, the court should review it itself and make a determination. I also think there's an efficiency argument to be made, because regardless of what, if the court would remand for the district court to determine whether it's a crime of violence again, whatever the answer would be, we'd probably end up back here one side or the other. So I think this court has the tools needed to make that determination, and Templeton makes it clear that it is not a crime of violence. I will reserve the rest of my time.
Good morning, Mr. Giroux.
Very stiff today.
What?
I said I'm very stiff today.
Stiff?
Yes, excuse me. I'm having trouble standing.
Do you want to sit?
Not on those chairs, but I would sit on the bench, but I'm too far away. If I could just go to the issues addressed, unless the court has a specific question regarding...
Marshalls! Yes.
Unless the court has a specific question regarding Kimbrough itself and the remand that the United States believes is appropriate in this case on that sole issue to determine whether the court would exercise its discretion because of a policy disagreement, then I'll just simply address the first issue.
Okay.
The and that deals simply with the criminal trespass to a dwelling. Again, as Mr. Mullins correctly pointed out, it's a two-part test. The first is the question of, is the degree of risk the same as what the government contends in this case is the analogous case or analogous crime of burglary? And the degree of risk, by this court's opinion in Gardner, which is a pre-Begay decision, talks specifically about an Indiana statute dealing with unlawful entry into a dwelling. And in those particular cases, this court found that, of course, that the unlawful entry into a dwelling does present the same degree of risk, because what you have is a situation where you're going to confront somebody and then perhaps run into a situation where the occupant is going to be injured.
You know, I'm troubled by the jacking this guy's sentence up based on a Wisconsin misdemeanor conviction that made him a career offender. I mean, usually we look at pretty bad prior crimes, armed robberies and stuff like that. And this, I think legally maybe you can fit under here, but it just seems like a questionable exercise of, talking a lot about discretion in the last case, but discretion to throw this one in and make him a career offender on the basis of that. Wisconsin looked at this and decided this, you know, we should criminalize it, but it's not all that serious. And imposes a maximum sentence of a year in county jail.
Well, it was, in fact, turned into a felony as a habitual criminal. That part, it wasn't a misdemeanor offense.
No, but the offense itself, I know this guy's had a lot of problems, obviously, and, but the crime itself of criminal trespass to a dwelling is It's often a knockdown charge. You charge with burglary and you plead guilty to this one and they give you 9 months or something and that's it, right?
Well, and the guidelines are not mandatory. The court has the discretion, could exercise the discretion to enter the appropriate order.
We will have an opportunity if we send this back.
Well,
on
the Kimbrough issue. And so the question is really one of not whether or not the court has discretion or whether, given the circumstances and the arguments made below, whether the court made the right decision. The question is whether or not this particular crime fits the concept of a violent crime. And again, going back to the two-part test, it does, in fact, fit the degree of risk. In the 28J letter that I filed yesterday involving Templeton, I pointed out that the court here did talk about the second part, in other words, the similarity in kind. Does the crime of criminal trespass, is it analogous or similar in kind to one of the enumerated crimes, in this case burglary? And what is critical and what Mr. Mullins left out and what I'd like to read is the whole sentence in that regard. And what it states, this court stated, was burglary requires both the intent to enter a building and the intent to commit a crime once inside. The second intent is what makes burglary purposeful, violent, and aggressive in all cases. And Mr. Mullins says, well, that forecloses the issue here. That can't be what is similar here because for some reason he's making the claim, which I'll point out in a moment is incorrect, that somehow that's a strict liability crime, that all you have to do in order to be convicted of the criminal trespass is to just enter the building, and that's incorrect. But it also, and this is the point I wanted to make, the decision also states, it involves intentionally encroaching on another's property or person or intentionally injuring another's property or person. In other words, that the actual aggressive and purposeful conduct is the encroaching upon a person's property. In the Van Loo case, which is a Supreme Court case out of Wisconsin, which the government cites, they state that the point and what is being criminalized by the trespass statute is the intentional entering onto the property of another. And we know that the person in the Wisconsin statute, there has to be somebody in the house. It has to be without the consent of somebody in the dwelling. And that is done with, and then the second part of the crime is doing something objectionable inside the premises. States in the Van Loo case, it punishes one for non-consensual entry and objectionable conduct in the private residence of another. In other words, that the question of whether these are similar in kind is brought out by this sort of decision. In other words, criminal trespass, even if it is ostensibly a misdemeanor or by the facts and of the elements of this offense, is similar in kind to burglary of a dwelling, which is what we're dealing with here. It's the Begay decision says that they have to be roughly similar in kind. We already know they're similar in risk because of the problem of confronting somebody. But similar in kind is almost directly on point because otherwise they'd be the same crime. But they're similar in kind because it only has to be roughly similar. Otherwise, we'd always be in a situation where what other crime is similar to burglary of a dwelling if it's not criminal trespass to a dwelling? And that's where I think that the government does prove that these are both similar in kind and similar in risk. In addition, I don't think that you can avoid talking about the degree of risk to another occupant when you do talk about the type of risk involved in burglary. In a burglary crime, similar in kind, or the degree of risk to another person, exists both in the degree of risk issue, but it's also the similar kind of conduct. Because what's going to happen in a burglary is you are going to confront that individual, or you have the chance of confronting it, and that's where the aggressive conduct is going to take place. But ultimately, it's the entry into the house and the objectionable conduct in there that makes them similar in kind. Unless the court has any other questions, thank you.
Three minutes.
Thank you. Certainly, while engaging in objectionable conduct once inside of a home uninvited meets the definition of criminal trespass to a dwelling. It is not necessary to meet the elements of criminal trespass to a dwelling. All that is necessary is that the peace be breached, and whether it's intentional or not, it doesn't matter. So, for example, maybe a more innocent example than the one I gave in my brief would be someone who is running from a pursuer for whatever reason, runs into a apartment building or a house, and whether it doesn't know if a person is home in the house or not. I would say if a person is not home in that place, they probably are not necessarily guilty of criminal trespass to a dwelling. If the person is home, I think they probably are guilty of criminal trespass to a dwelling. So the intent of the person entering the dwelling is not really does not really matter to that last aspect, and I think that's what distinguishes this case from burglary.
Has Wisconsin ever interpreted this statute in such a manner that the defendant need not be on the premises at the time the trespass is committed?
Not that I'm aware of. I would add that Wisconsin has, and this is a case that was not cited by the parties, Wisconsin has stated that the criminal trespass to a dwelling is not a lesser included offense of burglary. And
you're not familiar with a 1982 case called State Against Morgan?
I'm not familiar with it, no.
Out of Wisconsin.
But Wisconsin has declared that it's not a lesser included offense of burglary because of that, I assume, because of the element of breaching the peace that's present in criminal trespass to a dwelling. And the different element from burglary. Unless there are any questions.
Just remind me of how old Mr. Corner is. I can't.
How old? He is 38 now, I believe.
38.
Yes.
Yeah. 1970, I see it here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you all. The case will be taken under advisement.